Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of ScaryCast. This is Dr. John Stamey in Columbia, South Carolina, live and with a great show. We've got our wonderful co-host with us, Robin McCray. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. I'm excited for this show.
I bet you are, because I'm going to let you do the introduction, because you know this guy better than anyone else.
I do. And this poor man knows me. I feel bad for him. He goes through a lot. This is my husband, the love of my life. This is Pat McCray, who had, well before I met him, a lot of experiences with the Bigfoots. And then after he met me, his life got even more crazy. Hey, baby.
Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing?
We're all good tonight.
We
excited to hear what happened.
Yeah, thanks for being on here with us. I'm going to let Robin lead this discussion, and I'm gonna let Robin be the hostess, and I'm gonna be the co-host. You know,
I know all the dirt. I know all the dirt. Okay, let's start when I first met him. I met Pat because a mutual friend of ours contacted me, and I had actually helped that friend with the Bigfoots around him, and he knew I helped several people, and he said, I know this super nice guy, and he's got, you know, a bunch of Bigfoots around him, and he's just trying to figure this all out. Will you talk to him? And I was like, okay, I will, you know, so I talked to him, and we got along really well from the beginning, but he had some great things that was going on. He was actually working in a research area when I met him. Pat, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, the research area?
Yeah, when you were over at Penny's.
Yeah, I the friend of the friend, I went ahead and I talked to Penny, and basically I asked her. I said, you know, I've always been interested in Bigfoot, and I said, well, you know, why not take a chance? It's only an hour away. I could go up there on the weekends. So basically, I called her, and she said, well, no, it's not a problem. So I went up there, and just the amount of things that happened in those woods was just, it was unbelievable. I've never to this day seen all the stuff that I've seen in those woods. I mean.
But most of it was dark, though, wasn't it? It wasn't like it is here. It was dark.
It was dark. I went there one day, okay? And she would bring her husband, and I told him that day, I said, well, how about let me go up? And I was just trying something different. So I walked up, I went up, I told him I'll go up by myself. Okay, so I went up, and it's a circular kind of type of trail, and it brings you back to where you just came in. So I came in, and I was right at the end of the trail, and I saw this huge black hole. It was like right off to my right hand side, and it was following me. I'm sitting there, what the frick is this? And it's like boom, boom, and it keeps following me. And then something shot out of it, and then it shot out, and it appeared right on the trail ahead, and it was pear shaped, and immediately it disappeared. Go ahead.
No, wasn't that? That was about the time that our friend got hold of me about it, because he was worried something was going to happen to you out there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and you were at that time. You were already. I mean, I want to put this out there. Pat is one of the best mind speakers I know. He's absolutely fantastic. I'm not saying that because he's my husband. It's just a fact. And Pat, myself, and another friend of ours do work occasionally for the Bigfoots. And so we verify everything that we're told to make sure we get it right, because it's not just a conversation, it's actually work. And so he was communicating with them, and I think it just kind of threw him at first. Because I remember when the guy got hold of me, he's like, you know, he's doing really good. But, like, I think he talks to him, and he's got a lot of questions.
What do you mean?
Do you remember? Like, you, when he was talking about it, he said you had a lot of questions about the foot.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Why I got hold of you.
Yeah, exactly. And when I talked to Robin, it was like I couldn't believe the things that she was saying. I mean, I never heard of all the stuff that she was saying. It's like it was a total eye-opener. I mean, I go, wow, portals, Bigfoot, ETs, just
the dog
whole nine yards, dogmen, and it was kind of overwhelming because I, you know, like the average person doesn't know this stuff. All I knew going in the woods was, you know, there possibly could be a Bigfoot. So, and she just, she versed me
have
in
I changed
all
your life, babe.
Yeah. Yes, you have. Now, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, now, the first time I went to Robin's house, okay, I got out of the car. I drove up, and there's steps, and, you know, and then I got out of the car, and there's, like, these pine trees to the left, and I got out of the car, and the entire woods erupted. I mean, it's like, and it really startled me. And I got back in the car, and I kind of beeped the horn or kind of waving to her. I said, "Well, hey, come on out here."
Well,
and then she come
out.
And,
what you were doing?
Well, yeah, the woods erupted, and it seems like every Bigfoot yelled out. It was really wow.
Well, I was standing in the house, and you pulled up, and I watched you get out of the car, and then I saw you look to the woods.
Yeah.
And then I just saw you. You never even looked back at the house. You just got back in the car, and I thought you drove, like, from Indiana to Michigan to see me so that you could steer us the woods and get back in the car. It was awful. And I came out and I kept saying, "What's wrong with you?" And you said, "Talk to them." And you kept pointing to the woods, and the whole
yeah,
woods was just
talk
nothing
to
but
them.
Eye shine. Yeah, there's lots of eye shine. Yeah, they're a little protective at times. But
yeah, very
they,
protective.
The Bigfoots really have the best dating service ever, because for those out there that are actively involved with the Bigfoot forest people, they pick who they want you with. Okay, they literally will match you up with who they want you to be with and who you're supposed to be with. So, and I'm very grateful that they did. I'm not complaining at all. But they knew what they were doing. Between Pat's abilities and my abilities, we just work really well together. And this poor man has been subjected to so much for me with this entire paranormal thing that it's just not even fair.
Well, all I've got to say is that you make a heck of a nice couple together. And, you know, we've all
thank
been over
you.
Here. Cause I've
you.
Got to interject. We're all over here at Pat and Robin McRae's house, and we had Sloppy Joes. Thank you so much for making all the Sloppy Joes. And we had our friends. Our friends were here. We had Janice. We had the Pierces. I brought one of my artists, Zach from Charleston, and it's been just like being with the Adams family. And
it is. It's craziness all the time. All the time. John even was picking up more smells as though we were walking through the house.
Yeah, I know. I tend to pick up smells from beyond. And so I've had the Christmas smell. When we were up in Kingsport, Tennessee, I had the cinnamon smell all over my hand. I couldn't get rid of it. Everybody was sniffing it by their sides. Yeah, this is really legit. You know, so we're all over here having just a wonderful Adams family time. I mean, it couldn't have been a better time because we had several birthdays we were celebrating, and I'll go ahead and share that with everybody. Pat McCray had a birthday that we celebrated. Holly Coy had one that we celebrated, and I had one that we did, and so we just had a blast.
Yep, and you got to smell Christmas.
I got to smell Christmas. It was all around me at one point. So, you know, it's great when you can get to hang out with some of your friends who are interested in scary cast topics like Bigfoot or UFOs or whatever else it is. And I hope it was all right to share that with everybody. But it was a blast. And really, when you see Pat and Robin together, they're just such a cool couple. And they laugh. And I think people need to laugh more. Don't you, Pat and Robin?
I agree, because you know what? You have a choice to make in this world. You can be down in the dumps, or you can laugh and try to roll with the punches. And you're going to be here anyway, so why not make it fun? And you know what? The laughter and the fun helps keep the negative entities away. Like, it really and truly does. If you're down, if you're dark like that, everything comes in to try to feed off you, and Pat knows this extremely well as well. So when you keep it light, when you keep those endorphins up and the energy good, you're a lot safer.
Very true.
So really, when you're eating Robin McCray's Sloppy Joe's with pineapple, oh my God, that's all I got.
Yeah, that pineapple was for you. He wanted these Sloppy Joe's in the worst way, and I'm like, if that's what you want for your birthday dinner, I'm all for it. So I make up 20 pounds of Sloppy Joe's. And he says, you don't mind pineapple, do you? So then we ended up putting pineapple in it. Anything for John, my buddy.
It was fresh pineapple, like,
yeah,
right from the
yep,
stalk.
Yep, I chopped it all up. Yep, I said, no cans for my guys. So
it was great. And so now I'm going to ask you two a question. This is a couple's question. I feel like we're on a dating game or something. But this is a couple's question. Do you remember the first time that the two of you took a walk in the woods to hang out with your favorite people in the forest?
Oh, that's tough because we're always in the woods. I think it was Tim's house, wasn't it, babe?
Yeah, we would go to his place, Tim's place, but then we would take rides back into the forest, the Manistee National Forest. Remember that?
Yeah, we went way back in there. Remember we got lost out there in the dark? Oh, my God, that was awful.
No, yeah, with Lauren.
We went
there like at midnight.
No, remember it was like 5, 6 o'clock, but it was so the woods were so thick. It made this instant covering of darkness. And we got back there, and there were foots all around us. And, of course, we all know that, you know, they mess with electronics. So they shut all the phones down. It's pitch dark. We can't even see each other next to each other. It wasn't late.
Yeah, I know.
It was just there was no light back there. And we didn't know how to get out. And the foots are pacing in circles around us.
Is that the one on 1 Mile?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, because then none of your phones work, and then there was no single, but my phone would work. I had the GPS, and then
how we got out.
And it, yeah, that's how we got out, and it led us to the road. We couldn't see our hand in front of our face. It was so dark.
Well, Lauren and I were there the night before. My friend Lauren, who lives in Oklahoma, I love this girl. And she would come to Michigan to visit in the summertime, and she'd spend time with me, and then her family was there as well. And we had went out the night before, and it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we went back there, and of course the foots were out. We knew it. We had seen them moving between the bushes. And it felt like we were there a half hour, and all of a sudden it went pitch dark like it did with Pat and I. Only we couldn't get our phones to work, and we couldn't see each other. Like, if you weren't physically touching each other's arms, you couldn't know the other one was there. It was that dark. And so we were trying to get out. We couldn't find the trail. We couldn't see any way to get out. And she didn't have – her phone wouldn't work at all. And so I had mine, and my light came on for my flashlight. And then that shut down, and she finally got hers working again. And so she turned around to go up the trail, and she left me. She thought I was behind her, and I couldn't see her to follow her. And I'm standing there, and there were three Bigfoot standing in the bushes, and they were trying to, like, get us to move. And then off to the side, like 50 feet off the other side, they were hunting. And they must have caught something because you could hear it screaming as it was getting killed and ready for dinner. And we're trying to get out. And you can't yell or scream because you don't want to scare anything and have it even madder than it already was. But the foot's pretty much let us out. So we take Pat back there the next day, and then we got lost.
Remember that floral scent? We were, I think, going out, and it's like it came through the entire car.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I mean, weird things happen when Pat and I do anything. It's just a normal. Like, and I have to stress to everybody, and John can contest to this, things that go on at my house and around me are never going to be normal. Like, literally normal. John and I were talking about this earlier tonight, and I said, if it was normal, I wouldn't know how to react. And Pat, God love this man. He has gotten to where he knows me well enough where it doesn't faze him anymore.
Because it happens all, you know, it's just, like she said, it's the norm. The other night I woke up at 4 a.m., I heard this weird voice. And okay, I heard it, you know, and I'm not freaking out or anything. It's just normal. We have seen so much stuff that it just doesn't faze you.
And do you remember, what was her name? It wasn't Trinity, because Trinity's a foot. Which was the one that was the dog woman that was in Indiana at South Bend? They used to come
Mara,
up to the window.
Mara.
And she hung out with the foot. She didn't hang out with the pack. She was with the clans all the time. She loves you.
Yeah, I know.
She remember used to feed her.
Shami's?
Shami's, that's the other one, yeah.
Yeah, she's the foot.
But they always tail together. But
yeah, I know.
Pat, he got the biggest crash course in Let's Be Abnormal. If ever there was a human being that should have ran, not walked, to the nearest exit, it was Pat. And he just takes his stride. He's fantastic.
Well, no.
He just goes with the
flow. Like, at Penny's place, okay, I'm sitting there, you know, am I going crazy or what? But I remember, she said it was a dark, there was a lot of darkness in those woods. And I remember I was heading to the woods over there, and I think it was more of a less... a message for me to, and what happened was I had the urge to just jump out of the car, which, you know, normally you don't do, but looking back at that, it was a warning. They didn't want me going in those woods. They wanted me out.
Yeah, there's a lot of black magic done in those woods.
Yep, I agree. There was.
But
I've seen some really weird stuff.
He doesn't get a break when I'm not around. Like, the poor man can't even go out and mow the lawn. He goes out to mow the lawn, and, like, all the foots line up in the bushes. And he spends more time talking to them than he does mowing the lawn.
I was out there, it was this summer. I was out before I hurt my knee, and they were out in the bushes. You can, you know, snap, and then the bushes would move. And you can get glimpses of them. They call it shimmering, or I see glimpses of them. I saw a little tiny glimpse of something. Must have been a little baby or something like that. And I always say hi, and, you know, they'll be by the bushes. And I say, well, you know, what are you afraid of? And he says, well, we're not supposed to come out, or, you know, we're not supposed to show ourselves or something like, you know. And... you know, that's fine, you know.
Well, he's had him come in. He'll be laying in bed. You know, it's something, grab his toes or take his blanket. Then he was in the shower.
Yeah, grab my feet.
And I told him, I said, we've got two spirits in this house. We've got a tall, thin man, and we've got a little girl. And I said, they're not related, but I knew they were here. You know, the little girl's always playing with the kids' toys and opening and closing the doors. And I knew the man was there. And Pat goes to take a shower one day. Babe, tell him what happened.
Well, I was in the shower, and I saw him in my mind. Okay, I didn't see him physically. Usually I saw the guy in my mind. He says, I think he said his name was Ralph. And he lived in the house. I had seen him. Really, I was this one summer, I had seen him out in the front yard. He's wearing bib overalls, and he had a nice white long, you know, long sleeve shirt on. And I look, and he just crosses. I'm sitting there. I go, who in the heck was that? And I go out and look. Of course, there's nobody there. That's what usually happens anyway. With a foot or really anything, you look back, and there's nothing there.
Yeah. Well, it's like we've got the three that hang out in the front yard. We've got a female, a male, and a baby. And then they've got three other foots that come and just sit and watch over everything. And it's like you see half of them coming out, and you start to see them, and then they go back and they cloak again. You know? Now, the female, I saw the one night when she ran by like a freight train. But
she's like, what, 14 feet tall?
No, I think she's around 12, but she's a big girl.
She's
she is a
big
girl.
Wow.
I know the male's that size, too.
And the little baby just, you know, when you talk to the, you know, the baby, he'll say,
Dirty.
You know, Jerky, he'll say, don't come out. My mom and dad are near. Don't worry. I won't.
Well, and it's fun because, like, Pat and I, he mind speaks so well. And so we'll both get mind speak at the same time and turn around and tell each other at the same time, and we have the same thing. Like, so it's
That's
a race
true.
On who gets to say it first. But now, tell them, you mind spoke with me, remember? When I was still, before we were married. You had been at the house, remember?
Yeah, and I was... It was like a really snowy night, and I was heading home, and then I drove up, and then I heard Robin talking to her daughter Kate, and I heard it in my mind, not her, but it was in my mind. I heard that.
Yes, mine too.
And. Yeah, and later on, I told her, I said, well, you know, were you talking to Kate? And she says, yeah. And it's pretty wild.
But you told me
I mean,
what we were talking about, you little eavesdropper.
I don't remember that, but I remember hearing you talking. I can't remember what you said.
Yeah, but I remember you called me, and you said, were you and Kate talking?
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, usually. And I said, why? And you said, well, you were talking about, I can't remember what you said, because it's been about 5 years, but. You were right, and I was like, good Lord, but we've done that before. We've mind spoke to each other before.
That's true.
You know, so,
true.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. It's good and it's bad because, you know, when you can read each other's mind, it's not always the best thing for a couple.
Very
well,
true.
It works for us.
I'm going to jump right in there with my little story. About we can call that being in a room. We used to have.
I can hardly hear you, John.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Good. I know that we used to have these potluck dinners up in Raleigh, and a lot of the folks from the old Ryan Institute would come hang out and everything. And I was sitting there, and there were a lot of psychics that I had helped test. This is a long, long time ago, and I knew that they were all pretty big hot shot. And all of a sudden, I turned around and I said, you know, everybody in here can read my mind. I'm going to leave now. I saw Sally Ryan Feathery, Dr. Ryan's daughter. I said, Sally, I'm going to leave. She said, well, why is that, John? Are you not having a good time? I said, no. Frankly, it's very uncomfortable knowing that half the people in here can read everything that I'm saying. And she started laughing. She said, oh, they won't they won't do that to you. I said, I think someone's already cheating now. So I got back out of there, and I didn't get any more. So we get in a room full of real psychics. I mean, I know psychics are the ones that can actually perceive things and read minds, and they're out there. Don't think they're not. If you don't like that viewpoint, ScaryCast is not for you. But we all know, those of us here in this little paranormal field that we're in, we know it, and it's very interesting. It's a kind of cool, crazy way to go through life and everything. So, yeah, I just wanted to interject my story. I told that story at the 9th dinner, and we were just having a blast. So anyway,
yeah,
now,
we always have fun.
Back. Yeah.
Are you there? You blanked out.
Oh no!
I'm here.
I was just waiting on waiting on you to proceed with the interview, Madam Hostess.
Oh. I don't know. Hey, Cam, what is the thing that you thought has been the most craziest since we've been together?
There's a lot. the one, it's hard to pick. It really is.
Just pick one.
Well, I always remember this. And this is in Michigan. I mean, it's not really scary or anything, but I'm basically right by the window. Okay, the screen is open. And then I kind of drift off. You know, you drift off between sleep and awake, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, I hear iPad. I heard it distinctly. And, you know, I always remember that. I mean, I've got they're our friends. And
yeah, definitely.
There are people, and they laugh, they giggle a lot. They're pranksters. They cry. They have a religion. I'm sure they have, you know, their way of doing things, just like we do.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, brings it back. And all the foots that we've talked to, and I've talked to, you know, other things as well.
You communicate with absolutely everything.
Well, like I was at that, I used to work at, it was a boot company. I would make shoes. Okay, I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and then something, it just very, very clearly comes across. I think he said he was basically, he needed help. I said that.
Oh, I remember.
I said, well, where are you? He said he was helping the earth or fighting for the earth, and he needed aid. So, I mean, it's stuff like that that happens all the time.
Constantly.
Constantly. And I'll be sitting just minding your own business. You know, you'll be at a movie theater. All of a sudden, this little voice comes into your mind, and it talks to you. It's someone. And basically, your mind, since I've been in this stuff, your mind is the key. Your mind is the key to the universe, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the sky is the limit with your mind. I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. And then you basically can talk to things that are light years away, and there's no and I've done it. I went ahead and I was watching a show. It was on Gaia, and it was about they showed pictures of these motherships. And he had his camera, and he took pictures of these things. So, like with Robin can do this, and I can do it. You look at a picture, and even before any of this started, I had this feeling that when a picture, there was energy in that. There had to be, I thought you could interact with it. Like way before I even got involved with Bigfoot or Mindspeak or anything. Okay, so I focus on the picture. It's like you're drawn in, and then you connect with people on that ship. And I did. It was an ET and a human. A human had gray hair, a beard, and a mustache, and it was a gray. And, you know, I thought it was kind of neat. What's that?
Yeah, and I think anybody could really do it. I mean, I don't think people realize that telekinesis and telepathic abilities, we have them. We've been programmed not to believe we have them, but we do have them. And it's the easiest way in the world to connect with anything. I mean, you have to be careful. I mean, when we talk about MindSpeak, and we talk about it a lot on this show, and we try to bring this up all the time, is be careful what you're talking to. Not everything is your friend. And when you talk to things, it makes it easy for the bad to come in. You have to learn how to gauge it, to see what it is, and how to read the energy on things to figure out if it's good or bad.
It's by feel.
Yeah.
If you feel it's bad, it's off in such a way, you kind of...
You close it off.
And you don't get that feeling, you just don't do anything with it. And... You know, it's just a perception of per person that, you know, if it's bad or good, you know.
Yeah.
The feeling.
Yeah. Do you remember, this was summer or fall, probably fall, because the windows were all open. So it'd be a year ago. Pat was sitting on the couch. And I was in the bedroom. Do you remember that with the chaos game?
Yeah. So
he's sitting on the couch. And he had said for 2 days that when he was sitting on that couch, that on and off when he would sit there, he swore that something was walking in front of that window. And my windows are 5 feet off the ground, and then the windows go up another 5 feet. So there's 10 feet there. And so Pat's sitting on the couch, and I'm laying in bed. Go ahead. You can tell it.
Well, I'm on the couch watching TV. I wish I wasn't, because then I probably would have seen everything. And then the foot walks through the window. I saw his arm, the shoulder, the arm was like right up by the window. So he had to be at least 9, 8, 9, 10 feet tall. Okay, so then the cat see it. Oh my gosh. These cats, it's like a cartoon. You see them, and they took
flying
off.
Flying
like
airborne.
Yeah, I know. They were airborne.
And they were all on that windowsill. I was sitting on our bed. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone. And there's the living room, the sitting room, and then the master suite's on the main floor of the house. And Pat was out there watching TV. I didn't think anything about it. And the dogs had acted up right before that. So I knew somebody was probably outside, but there's so much of that goes on here that a lot of times we're just so used to it, we don't pay attention. So the dogs calmed down. I didn't think anything more about it. Next thing I know, I look out my bedroom door, and there's cats that are airborne that are literally flying from the windowsill. And oh, my God, it was hysterical. Right across the room, and I see him go whizzing through it literally looked like somebody took him and played a football with him. And I see some running up the steps as fast as they could go. The others just flew off that windowsill. They were airborne as they crossed the bedroom door to go land into the living room, and then they just all disappeared.
Exactly.
And I hollered to Pat, and I said, what was that?
Saw a big, huge, hairy arm.
But then it was only
kind of
like
reddish.
But then like 2 weeks later, I was in the living room, and it was a different window. It was the window next to it. And I was sitting there, and it looked like whoever it was white, it was probably shadow, but was sitting under that window. And it looked like he just ripped his arm up, smacked that screen and brought his arm down, and I saw it from like the elbow up, the white hand and the hair and everything. And the cats, God love them, it's their favorite two windows. And they just went airborne again, and I'm like, this is not funny anymore. We cannot terrify the cat. And it was like a joke. I mean, you could hear laughing after he did it.
Yeah.
They don't try to hurt them. They don't do anything. They don't zap them. They just like to scare the crap out of them.
And they do.
They do. And the cats go back to that same window all the time. But now if you look at my screens, you can see where somebody's taking a finger and trying to poke a hole in the screens, and they have in a couple of them.
Yeah.
And at first I thought it was the cats, but the cats, you never catch the cats messing with the screen, ever. And it's all looks like it's pulled
out.
It's on
the outside.
Yeah, it's all done on the outside. It's not done from the inside. And some of the marks on it where it'd be like nail marks, it's not even humanly possible for it to be the cat because the nail marks are too big. I mean, it's too big for a cougar, let alone a little house cat.
Tell them about the time when somebody kept telling you to come out in the backyard and take a picture.
Oh, my
Remember?
Gosh. Yes, Pat had just gotten home from work, and it was only 8:30 at night. It was last summer, and I was exhausted. I had just been really tired that day, and I wasn't feeling my best, and I thought, you know what? There's a reason we have this beautiful TV in our bedroom. I'm putting my pajamas on. We'll go in there. We'll lay down. He was tired from work. I'm just going to go in there and relax. I just got laying down, and I hear this, come outside, come outside. And I get it a lot because they want me to go outside. They stare at me for whatever warped reason they have, and then they do nothing. And I was like, I'm not coming out. I'm tired. No, come on outside. And it was still daylight out. I mean, it was summer hours. And I kept telling him, I said, I don't know who you are or what you are, but I am not going outside. And so he shows me a picture in my mind of him, and it was a dog band pup. He wasn't very old. And he's like, I just want to see you for a second. And I said, well, do it another day because I'm not coming outside. And he pipes up with, I'll let you take my picture, which none of the foots, none of the dog bands want their picture taken. And I said, no, you won't. You're going to get me out there, and I'm not going to get a picture, so I'm not coming. And he bothered me again, and he said, no, I really will, I promise. And I said, all right, I'm going to come out there, but if I don't get a picture, I think you're lying to me and I'm not talking to you anymore. So I go out there, and I've told this to people before, quit looking for them and to pose and smile for a photo. Take random pictures. If they're out there cloaked or in the flesh, you'll get them that way. If you don't get it that way, you're not going to get them, because when you focus on them, they make your camera blurry. So I go out there and I took random pictures and I blow it up, and there he is.
Yeah.
30 feet up in a pine tree.
Yeah,
20 30 ears,
feet up in the pine tree.
Now, yeah,
clear
as
a bell
too
on
nice.
The picture.
Yeah, it turned out great. I mean, he went to his word. You know, and tell him about the handprint.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so
I mean,
I'm like, I have a pillow. It's like a Star Wars pillow. And I got that. And
the back of it's all
it,
black.
Yeah, it's all black. I put it on the end of, on the top and the end of my chair. Okay, so I'm like, this is, you know, I think I just got off work or something like that. Or was, and I sit down on the bed and I see this like powder stuff all over the pillow. I'm sitting there, I go, what the heck is that? And I pull it down, it's a huge handprint. It looks like somebody had taken like baby powder, powdered sugar or something, put their hand in it, and put it right on the black pillow. And it was this huge handprint. And we've got that, and we've got another one on the window, a little one.
Yeah.
And
well, that day that happened, though, you were working all day. I was home alone. You were at work, and I had cleaned the entire bedroom from top to bottom, vacuumed, swept, washed the bedding, made the bed. You know, I picked up that pillow twice. There was nothing, and I repeat, nothing on that pillow. There was no powder anywhere. And when I got done cleaning, I went into the kitchen to start dinner. Nobody was in the room until you got home. And you walked in the bedroom, and I hear this, hey, what's with the handprint?
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
No, but they did it again. I had my work shorts on a shelf in the bedroom. So I go in, and there's another one. It must have been the same one. Another,
that
same powder.
Small.
And maybe. And the same thing, right on the shorts. Clear
well,
as
yeah,
a bell.
And then like a month after that, again, you're at work, I'm here. I get up there and I open the door to go of the bedroom because we keep the door shut at night because the dogs sleep with us. And I open the door to let the dogs out, and here's this pile of this white powder in the middle of the
yeah.
sitting room floor. And I thought, what in the world is this? Like, I mean, I didn't dump it there. I was asleep, and I called you, and
yeah,
you didn't know a thing about it.
I remember that.
So I let the dogs out, and then I go over to the TV stand, and there's a handprint with powder on the TV stand. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go get a dustpan and broom, but I'm in my mind, I'm saying, I don't know who's playing games, but I don't need any more housework than what I have. I go to get the broom and the dustpan. I go back, and 90% of the powder is gone. There's just a little bit of traces in it.
Yeah, I know.
That was so crazy.
You remember, this is way back when, the Christmas tree?
Oh, my gosh, that was, you should tell that story. That was good.
Okay, so I'm in my house. It's wintertime.
This is before
okay,
we were
I'm
living together.
Yeah, I'm talking to Robin on the phone, and I had to go out and get something out of my car. So I go on out, I get it out of the car, come back in, and then I was like sweeping, using the vacuum cleaner. So then I started sweeping again, and then I don't know, I just had to either the urge to open the door or something. I don't know why I opened the door. I opened the door. This is like maybe less than 30 seconds when I went in. So I opened the door, and there's this Christmas tree right on my front doorstep. It didn't blow there, and there were no footprints. Nothing was around. It's just
no, and there was
it looked
not
like
even
it just
any
popped out of a portal.
It did. There wasn't even anything on the snow where it had been dragged up there, or if
yeah,
not that
exactly.
the wind was going to blow it up and walk and up onto the front porch, but there was nothing. The snow was completely untouched.
Yeah, I got a picture of it, actually.
You still there, John?
Very, very weird.
Yeah, I was listening. It was just quite stunning and amazing. I was enjoying the story. I'd like to see that picture.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll show
it
to you.
Yeah, we'll show it to you.
Yeah, I've got it. Well, like I was in the back. We're talking about mowing the grass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I saw Blackie in the backyard.
Yep. He always.
Remember I told you. No, I told you. I said I thought he was wearing something like a.
Yeah.
A white coat or something, or furs or
yeah,
something like
will.
That.
Yeah, they'll use animal skins and anything they can find to make, you know, jewelry or, you know, clothing of any kind.
He was tall.
I remember when we were at the old
what?
House before we moved here. The old house. I had just moved in. It was before you and I had met, and I had just moved in there, and I was taking Gabby out. I at the time, I had a mini pig named Gabby. And I took her out to go to the bathroom, and she was walking around, and I looked up, and there stood Blackie in the backyard, all 12, 13 feet of him, just standing there, proud as could be. And I remember looking at him, and I recognized him. It sounded like it was the first time I'd seen him. And then he was there, and then a second later, he was gone.
Yeah, I know. I was actually working for FedEx. I was delivering at Christmas time. And I pull up to, this is in Michigan, and I pull up to the address. And lo and behold, I look in the back, and there's a foot right in front of me, right in back of the truck. He looked at me in the eyes, and I looked at him squarely. I didn't take my eyes off him. And he just disappeared before my eyes. This is really,
yeah.
It's like, did I really see that? You know?
Well, the first time Shadow cloaked in front of me, I was like sitting there going, I know this happens all the time, but he was like 10 foot from me in physical form, and then poof, he was gone.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, and then remember when we came out to look at this house, and I said I said, let's just take pictures of the woods. Before we put an offer on this house, we got to check out, you know, the neighbors. So let's just take pictures of the woods. And we go back, we're having to stay in a hotel at the time because the house we had previously planned on purchasing fell through the day before the closing. So we unfortunately were stuck in a hotel because we had moved from Michigan to South Carolina. And we look at these pictures, and there's everything in these pictures. There was a portal in this picture and a head floating out of the portal and gold bars coming out of the portal. And Pat and I looked at each other and said, looks like home to us.
I took a picture in the front yard, and it looks like something is holding a deer by its hind legs. And just, you could come out here and just snap a picture and you'll see something. That's it. I mean, it's that.
Not always.
For us,
I mean,
it's
maybe
easy.
7 out of 10 days, but not the full 10 days. We have our downtime. Remember, I was Igor Borstev was here, and Jan Carter, of course, she's staying with me right now, and so is her daughter and her boyfriend, and so they're with us for right now. And everybody was out in the other room, and I'm in the bathtub, and I heard something tap on the window. And I thought, okay, they're always tapping on the bathroom window, and it's a smoked window, so they can't see in. And every time I get in the tub, I would say maybe 80% of the time there's tapping on the window. And that window, mind you, is 8 to 10 feet off the ground. And so I'm in there, and they're like, hurry, come outside, come outside. And I said, what's the matter? I'm in my bathtub. We need you. Just come out to the woods. And they wanted a blessing. So I'm like, but I'm in the bathtub. No, it has to be now. And I'm like, I can't even get time off to take a bath. So I get out of the bathtub, and I go out in the living room, and I said something to Pat, and as soon as I mentioned it to Pat, man, their mind's speaking like crazy with him, and you need to do this, and we need you to do this, and we need you to do this. And I'm like, okay, pick a head. Like, don't – I mean, they're talking to everybody now. They're talking to Jan. They're talking to Pat. They're talking to me. So I'm in my pajamas, and we all go hiking it out in the backyard. Poor Igor thought that we were actually going to go somewhere and go hiking. He's like, let me change my pants and my shoes. I'm like, I'm in my pajamas at this point, and I'm wearing slippers.
Yeah.
I mean, don't worry about you changing your clothes. I've got drug out of a bathtub for this. If I'm going to do this, I'm doing it now. So we go all PJs of the forest. They've seen me in my pajamas more than anybody else has. They used to get me up in the middle of the night to go out there in the middle of the night in my pajamas. We go back there, and Pat's talking to him like crazy, and Igor's walking through the woods looking for structures, and I'm out there doing this blessing for him that they wanted. But that's a normal night here. I mean, it really, that's pretty much as normal as it gets here.
Well, if you want to talk about normal, here's what we all just experienced from Tennessee at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So on Friday morning, I'm walking out the side door of the Farnsworth Museum, and my buddy William comes up. He says, John, there's structures all over. I said, where? I'm so tired, I can't even see. Hello, when I lose focus. And so he points, he says, well, there and there. I said, oh, my God, there were two teepee structures. There was a lean-to and something else. And so we talked to some of the we talked to some of the employees who said, well, you know, they weren't there 30 days ago, but we noticed them just real recently. So it's like, well, you know, let's greet Tennessee Bigfoot Conference.
Exactly.
Just go to Tennessee Bigfoot Conference on Facebook, and you can see those pictures. I mean, it was just
– they were really good.
Another normal day at work. Running the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I mean, how much more interesting can it get?
Well, yeah, and you know, when we were standing up there, because in the building there was a two-story building, and we were speaking in the upper half, and I was
right
there, and Igor, Igor was speaking, and Jan and I were waiting because we were going to speak with him. And I'm looking out the windows, and there is a black Bigfoot at off the end of the building right up the hill. And then I saw him back there, and then a little while later, I was on the ground floor, and I saw just – it looked like he was going behind a tree because I just saw the lower part of his leg and his foot. But we've got – where they've got structures all around the perimeters of this house. I mean, when Pat and I moved in, the tree line on both sides was just as thick. It was beautiful. You couldn't tell you had neighbors. You felt so isolated. Now it is. What does it look like now, babe?
Thinned out.
Tunnels through it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all.
Well, tell them about the rattlesnake.
Well, the actual rattlesnake, or when Muwaka was shaking,
put the
it
branch?
Sounded like a rattlesnake. Jan and I went outside, and the day before, Igor had been out there, and they've got all these openings there where they go and they crawl in the bushes, and the hole inside the bushes now, it's like a tunnel in there, and it's all gutted out inside. But they have these little areas that are opened up where they go in and they sit and they watch the house all night. And Igor had gone out there to see all these structures because they're literally 20 feet away from the door. I mean, it's not like you have to go far. And he saw where they could go in and where they had cleared it all out to sit down. So he climbs in there. And we kept telling him, get out of there. Number one, you know, this is the state of copperhead and rattlesnake. And two, the foots don't like it when you're climbing in their stuff. Like, get out. And he wouldn't listen. And we got through to him. And he said, okay, I'll come out. So he comes out. They were mad. And Zerky, the baby, plays in that area all the time. And they came in that night to play. And we knew he was out there because he goes up and down pine trees and all through the bushes and everything. And Janice and I were standing on the front porch. And we're just talking. We weren't bothering anybody. And all of a sudden we heard it sounded like they had taken the tails of the rattlesnake. And this was coming from like 8 feet off the ground and just started shaking him in like two or three different spots, shaking him as hard as they could. Like, it was so loud, it scared the crap out of us. I mean, you know, Bigfoots don't scare us, but the noise apparently terrified us. But it sounded like rattlesnake. And she was mad because somebody had been in that spot, and that's where the baby played. And she come barreling through there. There's right next to the tree line, we have a pump house out there. And she went right for that pump house. All I saw was this massive gray and black fur. I mean, she was huge and extremely wide and muscular, and she dove in those bushes, and all you could hear, it sounded like a rattlesnake going off, like maracas. I mean, she was not a happy woman. You know, I don't bother their stuff out there. I've never been invasive like that. You know, anywhere I've lived where they've been at, you know, whatever they do is what they do, and I don't go in there and try to move around, but I mean, they move my stuff around enough, but I don't do that to them. But, yeah, she was pissed off. And, boy, you could hear the rattlesnakes going with that.
Tell everybody about Sadie.
Oh, yeah, Sadie brought the baby to the house.
Yeah.
She was a sweetheart. She brought her baby. That baby wasn't very old at all. And she brought the baby to the house for me to see. And then when we moved to South Carolina one night, Melissa Pierce was here, and her and I had went upstairs to talk and visit and let the guys do their thing, and Sadie showed up and said that she was there, and I hollered down to Pat, and I said, I need you to – Pat and I verify everything. I mean, that is the one great thing about it, you know, for safety's sake, to make sure you're not talking anything you shouldn't be. You verify the crap out of anything you get mind speak. It's not because we don't think we're right. We know we are, but you want to verify it. Especially on the important stuff. Little stuff, it's no big deal, but important stuff, we verify it like crazy. So I hollered down to him, and I said, ask Sadie if she's here, and he got the same thing that I had. So, yeah, I'm glad she's back. I don't know where the kids are. I haven't seen the kids yet, but she had brought the baby to the house in Michigan.
But well, yeah, you saw her physically.
Oh, yeah. No, this was physically. It wasn't in my mind. I was out. I thought somebody, to be honest with you, I was like, who's trespassing on the property? Because it just looked like somebody at first in an orange-colored shirt. And I thought, why does that person look so big? Until I got outside, and her hair is like a copper color. But her hair was long. Like, her hair was a couple of feet long. She looked like Cousin It. There was that much hair. And it wasn't overly thick. And every time she would walk, that hair would separate on the muscle. It was just incredible. But she brought the baby. She let me walk towards her. I was probably 25, 30 feet maybe away. Maybe a little bit more, but not much. And she literally just let me stand there. She didn't try to hurt me, didn't get nasty, nothing. To me, it was a test because I was seeing them all the time anyway, and they were coming up to the house. But then after that happened, the activity level just tripled. I think it was a test to make sure I wouldn't try anything, and then if I did, I would have been toast. But she was fine. She was never aggressive with me at all.
When you first told me that, I said, wow.
Yeah. Well, and Pam took it in stride. Like, when we first got together and everything, I'm so used to a certain level of activity. And it's hard to bring somebody into that craziness. It really and truly is. And when Pat and I met, we were friends for 2 years over the phone. Had never met each other. And then the first time we met each other, it was, oh, my God, I love you. You know, and we've been together ever since. But he just really fell in suit with or in line with all of it. He was just like, this is normal. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, I'm in. And my favorite thing I tell him all the time is, okay, you're either on my island with the craziness or you're off my island. You know, do you want to be on the island or do you not want to be on the island? And he always looks at me and says, I'm in. I'm on.
I'm on.
That's exactly right. That's what we had when we had our little birthday dinner. Everybody was just excited to be here, and we were waiting to see if the little girl, the ghost, was going to run down the stairs like she did one time I was here.
was crazy.
Who knows? It's one of the joys of being in the paranormal universe, and we really do have a good time with it. And we've got about another 2 minutes left. So I want to say, first of all, thanks for the first family of paranormal for being on the show, for Robin being the host, and Pat being around and telling all these great stories that we love to hear about. And what I'd like for you both to do, if normally when I have Dave Atwell on the show, Dave doesn't know when to end and the British lady will cut him off. But I bet McCrae can figure out in about a minute or piece, just give us a preview of our next interview right at the McCrae's. That will be coming up in the next month. So would you folks come back and let's do another one?
Oh, of course.
Great.
We can talk about more craziness here, right, Pat?
Yes, we can.
And all thank right, you so for having us on, John.
Yeah, thanks so much. And Scary Cast will be back next Thursday night, 11 p.m., as usual, with this season's host, Devin Tate. From
thank
Hollywood.
You very much.
Good. Bye, everyone.
From the wilds of the wilds of South Carolina. Pat and Robin, take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care, bye, everyone. Bye.